Welcome to Tech Theater Clubhouse Conversations, where we have conversations around conversations about the conversations we just had on the Clubhouse app.
This is a podcast to continue that conversation, because every Tuesday on Clubhouse, we have amazing discussions with really, really smart people who sit at the intersection of technology and theater.
We always walk away from these Clubhouse talks with so much more we want to talk about. So we decided to make this here podcast, share those thoughts, and reach even more of our friends and collaborators. That's you. Hey, I'm Jess, CEO and co-founder of Broadway Unlocked, and my background is in the theater. I love connecting it to technology and the internet and all that jazz.
And I'm Joe, co-founder of Broadway Unlocked. I've been building and operating startups for over 10 years. I try to bring a tech and media perspective to these conversations.
And so with that, welcome to Tech Theater. This week on Clubhouse, it was a good one. We chatted about a new VC firm that is investing in humans, so they say, by giving money to creators and hoping to see a return through profit sharing across a 30-year contract, basically. We also talked about Georgia Tech robots that are performing dances with humans in order to increase trust between humans and AI and robotic technology, which is just the best. It's like the feel-good story of the week, for sure. Just robots dancing, and you should totally look that up. But I think we're probably going to spend the majority of the time today talking about this VC firm, because this was a peppery conversation. There were so many questions. So many people got up on stage. I loved this conversation, Joe.
Me too. It was to continue on. It was a peppery radish. That's a thing I want to become a thing.
Wait, is that a real thing? A peppery radish?
No, I'm inventing it right now.
No,
radishes can and do taste peppery. They have a kick to them.
What's the connotation by saying the conversation was a what does a radish add in your mind? Is it a good thing?
The radish element?
Yeah.
It's a great thing. Radishes are delicious.
Hmm.
It's like getting lucky. It's like, oh, like this is a good radish. Like the peppery ones are the good ones. They've got some kick to them.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's helpful. Yeah. Lucy is laughing her ass off right now. I do not subscribe to the idea that radishes are delicious. So
I'm just obsessed with the fact that we were like, let's do a quick episode. And you guys started with defining like what a radish would mean.
Fuck you, Lucy.
Keep that all in, please, by the way. Seriously, including you.
I loved this conversation. Was really excited when Lucy posted the article. I hadn't read it, but I had seen the headline previous to the Clubhouse show and was just like, yes, like this, like it taps into a lot of what I've done in my past. I was formerly at Maker Studios, which was not the same thing as this, but was a home for many, many YouTube creators. Yeah. 40,000 of them, I think, at its max.
How much? Did you say 40?
40,000, yeah, in the network.
Wow.
And so I think about this world and I kind of love this world. I think it's really interesting and really fun. And to get to talk about it with that group of people that we collect on Clubhouse was just so fun, and all the different lenses and different perspectives. Because, you know, if I were just still at Maker Studios, for example, it'd be all the dummy tech bros that I'd be chatting with.
Rude.
although maybe they would understand how venture capital works a little bit better than the theater community.
Well, what are you talking about?
That's okay, too.
It was definitely the most... Well, it's interesting, right? I think... And I know there's a lot to talk about that we didn't get to in Clubhouse, so I'll keep this short. Promise I won't talk about radishes. But it's not that it was a contentious conversation, but there was a real diversity of, like, questions. Like the evaluating of the deal, you know what I mean? And I really appreciated that.
Yeah, the tone throughout was kind of like skepticism. It was like, this sounds too good to be true. Where are the catches? Let me see that deal. Let me talk to this woman who's going to be the person getting the money and make sure that she's okay.
Like, yeah.
It was it felt too good to be true. And when I actually did have a chance to read through the full article, which is on Vice, and quick aside, I think I'm ready for Vice to just go away forever. I'm just done.
But we wouldn't have had our Clubhouse conversation.
I think this story would have gotten told somewhere else and told through a better and different lens. Because I wanted to make this note that this article, the thumbnail, the headline, is through the lens of this guy. What's his name? Lesson, yeah. I believe. And it's through do you know the great man theory of history? It's this idea that history can be told as basically a sequence of really great men sort of like carrying history forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking exhausting. and this feels like a small little continuation of that. It's like this one man came up with this idea and now it's going to change everything.
Yeah, it's so true. Which actually that helps me understand, because I will say for myself, I would definitely found myself on a path of, I want to love this. Like I am bought in if I can figure out these things that are confusing me. And so I think 90% of it was in the writing of the article and the positioning of it through the article, not really the terms of the deal or like all the things, the cool things that we got to. Mm-hmm. I was just like, there's something wrong and not computing in my head about how they're telling me and what they're telling me. Great man, the word of humans, all that stuff that I'm sure we'll get into, and what the meat of what's actually happening is.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Because if this article was just like, here's a really cool, interesting new sort of business model for funding creators, if that was the framing, it probably wouldn't have been clicked as much. It probably wouldn't have been shared as much. And like all the other nonsense that makes, you know, mm-hmm. social media currently the bane of everyone's existence, mm-hmm. I think rings true for this article. Mm-hmm. But I guess to your point, at least it existed. At least
yeah.
It became the fodder for the conversation on Clubhouse and now this podcast. So I guess Corey Hake, thank you.
Is that the writer?
Corey Hake is the chief digital officer and formerly of Mike, where I also used to work. And I think she's incredible. So I felt a little bad about saying that the company she is now part of running should go away forever.
Whatever. Today we've smeared Sutton Foster and Vice and...
yeah. Whatever. But one thing that when we were talking on... the Clubhouse show that I like debated, like, oh, should we go down this rabbit hole? And especially when Ananth was like, oh, I do financial modeling for my career.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe. Was just about like some of the features of how and why the venture capital model works, mm-hmm. because this article and this model of investing in creators is attempting to use the venture capital model, but just tweaking the terms a little bit. And instead of investing directly in companies, it's claiming to invest in humans. Even that, I'm like, this woman obviously has a company that she's running.
That's maybe what I got maddest about by the end of today.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I feel like it is a bit of a framing thing. It's just like, this is not actually what's happening. All these words are just a bit of farce to get a clickable headline.
Fuckers.
Yeah, but I feel like the key elements why a venture capital model even exists actually like is really important as to why these creators can and will and should be funded. But so a couple of key points that I wrote down. Venture capital is like a mode of investing in things, companies in most cases. I think it's important to like call out that it came about to like fill a gap that is otherwise not accessible for that type of company, which is usually like a high risk company. Like a bank cannot or will not do that based on like usury laws. Like it can't charge a certain amount of interest such that taking a risk on a high risk like investment, it becomes worth it to them, right? That is, I can't actually ratchet up the potential interest enough to like compensate for the risk associated. Mm-hmm. The other is like regulations around like accessing the public markets and how like you need a business model and you need a certain amount of revenue and a certain level of profitability before you can convince people in the public to invest in you. So there's like all of these sort of regulations that box out a certain type of high risk company, which then also like boxes out potential innovation and things like that. At mm-hmm. least that's the pitch of the venture capitalist. So like by definition, venture capital assumes like high risk, high reward. Mm-hmm. It's like we are taking bets mm-hmm. and it only works because they take lots of bets mm-hmm. and that the high reward bets counterbalance and maybe even outweigh the high risk bets. Mm-hmm. And like, that's really key too, I think, for this like creator lens. It's like a lot of these people are not going to succeed. They're mm-hmm. not going to get the Netflix deals. They're not going to become the next Hunger Games or whatever, which I think is something kind of inherent to the way that the content machine currently works. So that's why like the parallels there made a ton of sense to me, because this venture capital firm is not going to just invest in a single person, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. it's not banking on it. I think something Katie Braverman said in the conversation was like, well, it's unlikely that a lot of people, like all of these people are going to become super wildly successful. And it's like, oh, that's like kind of the point. Like we're assuming 80%
right.
of these, 90% of these creators are never going to help them make back their investment, mm-hmm. but one of them will. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the bet. That's the venture capital dream. The other one point I want out there before I open it back up a little, sorry, I'm boxing you out right now.
No, it's great. I'm enjoying it.
Is this idea that we talk about a lot, that like venture capital claims to invest in people and good ideas.
Mm.
And it's like this it's not a truism. It's a somethingism. I don't know. There's a good word somewhere out there for it, but it's like a thing that everyone,
a truthism
that just everyone like talks about and like wants to be the truth.
Yeah.
And it's somewhere close. It's somewhere adjacent to the truth. It's a neighbor of the truth. It's peeking over the fence or something. I'm just imagining Home Improvement now. But what I feel like it's actually doing, and this is me slightly parroting something I read, so I will not take credit for this, though I can't give credit because I do not remember who I read it from. was that like it invests in good people and good ideas, but only if those good people and good ideas are inside of a specific type of industry or a specific type of company that can fit that those other criteria of like returning the investments or hyper growth without a lot of marginal increase in cost. So like you couldn't create a company that has taxi fleets in every city around the country, but you can create an app that allows an independent contractor to become a taxi that could then exist in every single county around the United States or around the world. So it's like the difference between those two companies is helping to define what type of company, therefore what type of person, therefore what type of idea will actually get funded by this model is the scalability of it, and specifically like the marginal decreasing costs of software-based investments. So all of those things which are so true of how venture capital as a model functions, I feel like map almost perfectly over to this idea of investing in creators, where it's high risk, high reward. Like there's no guarantee that anyone is going to be successful, regardless of how successful they are now or what great ideas they have or who they are. But there is a whole ecosystem of them to potentially succeed within, i.e. book deals and Netflix licensing deals and breakout YouTube channels and all these other things. So I was like, oh, like putting those and connecting the dots between that like made me feel better about it.
Like question mark.
Because it's like all the bad things about venture capital will just now port over one-to-one to this creator economy. But it's like, well, maybe that's still good. Maybe this woman whose name I'm going to remember for a second, I believe is Marina Mogilko. Is that right, Lucy? Yeah, Marina Mogilko, who is a YouTuber, and I believe she does like 100,000 other things, so I won't put her just in the YouTube box, like is a successful entrepreneur. Like she has an incredibly successful series of YouTube channels, is making lots of revenue through them, and it's like doing a good job. Like doesn't need in theory to take this money, but I think part of why she chose to take the money is to break out of what works on YouTube or what works on Instagram, because those channels, those networks are like well-defined, and how you succeed in them is well-defined. So therefore, to succeed, you have to stick to the program, right? You have to release a thing every single day. And so therefore, you have to do short content. It has to be searchable. Like the rules are really, really well-defined now. Various creators that are making the Twitch streams go and making YouTube a valuable place to search for how-to videos, like they're all grinding and not actually getting a ton out of it, except for the top 1% of creators. And that's something I know you talk about all the time, how these platforms like just churn people.
Yeah. Something I thought about too, when you were just finishing that explanation of like, why would someone choose to take this money? A creator choose to take this money because they want to expand out. Also made me think of something you said earlier, which was that like the chicken and egg nature of this is that fine, investors invest in people, venture capitalists invest in people and ideas, but only if they're inside of these parameters, right? And in some ways, this investment in her is a signal, right, to the book deals and the Netflix and everything, to for them to invest in her, because now, and which is why venture capital so frequently is just put back in the hands of people who are wealthy, because it's like a
signaling mechanism.
Yeah, exactly.
Like this Slow Ventures, I believe is the name of this firm. Like it's just shooting up a flare, being like, hey, this person is going to be successful because we threw money at them.
Right. Which means you're going to be successful if you put the money into this site, this circle of money, that's this circle jerk of money that's happening.
And I guess like it benefits Slow Ventures. It benefits the other moneyed people in this equation. And I'm hoping it at least slightly benefits Marina Mogilko as well.
Yeah.
But does it just box everyone else out? And does it become a rat race? Just like YouTube has become a rat race for content creators. Right. And Twitch has become a rat race for live streamers and shoutcasters.
Right. Because it kind of goes back to something I think that we said last week, which is like, even if the internet means there could be 100 Sondheims now, like, can we actually support that many Sondheims? And like, same thing. We just like, I don't know that it means a creator has a very specific definition, which means you made one thing. It's probably on a screen because it has to be shareable and somewhat scalable, things that you just said, and that you have to be like working to expand out in other verticals, which is really actually just a fucking entrepreneur that happens to tell stories as their main product. Mm-hmm. And that you have to be subscribed into that thing. I think that's like where so much of the confusion came last week, right? Is because like the idea of a creator had more creativity inside of it, inherent in it 10 years ago, you know what I mean? And so like for those of us who are on the older end, you know, of the YouTube generation, it's still, that feels like that's what you think of when you think of creator. But like now, creator is just another word for an entrepreneur who tells, like, whose main product is the stories they tell, but they're a business person, to your point.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love your thoughts on, I had this thought and I couldn't fully crystallize it, but I think you're in a better position as like a creator of the YouTube generation, that like a venture capital firm could invest in a company, but a company is limited by its structure in terms of like who it's going to do deals with, right? Because why wouldn't this venture capital company just invest in a studio if that studio is going to be making content to license out to Netflix, et cetera? But that a creator is nimble enough and like needs to be nimble in order to tap into and hit and make money from all the weird different ways that creators can make money. So whether it is a Netflix, or it is creating a web series, or it is going on a, like starting a great podcast or something like that, that it's just like the creator remains nimble enough as like a single entity or a small little group of people probably. Like, is that, that feels like it's part of the calculus here in some way, but I don't have my head fully wrapped around like why that nimbleness exists. Because why isn't this just a studio that they've invested in? Like, why is it a creator?
I think it just gets us back around to the laundering of creators for like big money and technology, right? Because it's you can't put $1.7 million into one person with that who is already making money on their own. So now we're saying, I bet you can make even more money with a 1.7 cash infusion. She can't stay nimble. It's just like not part of it. That can't happen. That can't happen unless they really, and we had this conversation on Clubhouse as well, they really truly just stay out of it and don't expect any returns, which is another place that I get really caught up, because like venture capital doesn't, it's this weird, they're kind of angel investing, but at really high cash rates. And venture capital expects a return. And this article is positing they don't care. They don't need anything. If they get something, that's great. Mm-hmm. But if there are, let's say she's the first and last person that ever gets this deal, where like the venture capital company that has to make back their entire fund with at least one person, like everybody else has an expectation to return or just blow out and fail. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. She can't stay her by herself. So it just goes back to me like laundering creators again, you know, and saying, no, we got you. You're really just like a mechanism for them to make a shit ton of money and then discard, you know?
Yeah. What if she took it the other direction and was like, great, I'm going to treat this like a big universal basic income. And, you know, what's 1.7 divided by 30 years? It was like $56,000 a year. Like, that's not a lot of money, especially if you're living in like a, you know, major city. But it's like a livable income.
Yeah, totally.
To like supplement all the other things that she's doing as a creator.
That's kind of...
Assuming okay. She's like, she is ambitious about doing other more things and she's going to spend that money. But she could just like live off that money.
Oh, totally. Years. That's something I said yesterday.
While creating her brand.
Right? Like that it, like part of being the person who has creativity at the center of their product is that like some things work and some things don't, because it's not a formula. Mm-hmm. And so you have dry months and high months. And like, that was something I said in Clubhouse, was like, I don't know what else you do with this money except fucking hire lawyers, expand your team,
invest in Bitcoin,
and invest money to make money so that you can make it through all those weird years where like as a creator, for whatever reason, you just don't have the income from your products that you do on other years.
So maybe this whole article and this whole adventure is just a plea for a universal basic income. If you want art, if you want creativity, if you want innovation, if you want things to be pushed forward and experimented on,
yeah,
people need that safety net to do it.
It's so true, right? Like that kind of an investment at the end of the day, and this is why I think so many of us were trying to figure out how to like this deal, it's huge, right? It's huge for a startup. Mm-hmm. It's huge for a person. It's huge for a small business, like to have that kind of cash if you can plan and model like this woman, you know, did according to this article, and do probabilities is like, it's life changing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of crazy that like she wouldn't otherwise have access to this type of capital is how I've started to think about it. Mm-hmm. There's just no other world in which a creator on YouTube could get even a third of this money, a tenth of this money just up front to be like, go.
Yeah.
And so that's cool to me.
I agree.
All right. Dear listener, if we gave you $1.7 million
oh, shit.
Or a universal basic income, let's call it $50,000 a year, what would you do with it?
Like, I'd make cookies.
The thing that you would just like stop and go do? Cookies?
Yeah.
Would you be like, you'd like write a cookbook? You'd be like, the next story's cookies?
No, I'd probably just make cookies for my, just make them.
And eat them?
Yeah.
All right, well, I look forward to your cookies. But yeah, let us know what you would do with your universal basic income. Hit us up on Twitter at BWIUnlocked and use the hashtag TechTheaterCH to share your thoughts.
And of course, come be a part of our next conversation Tuesday at 12:55 Eastern on Clubhouse. Raise your hand, jump in, and share your thoughts. We'd love to see you.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, I thought it was a pretty good one. We would love it if you could rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and leave a review.
Every single topic we talk about every week is inspired by the articles we read and share in our company Slack channel and the people who join our stage. So please do join us, whether that's on Clubhouse, Twitter, or here listening to this podcast. Leave us a review and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.